Good morning. 00 hours. Mostly cloudy. 39 degrees. Good morning. 0100 hours. Partly cloudy. 37 degrees. Good morning. 0200 hours. Mostly cloudy. 35 degrees. Good morning. 0300 hours. Mostly cloudy. 34 degrees. Good morning. 0400 hours. Mostly cloudy. 35 degrees. Good morning. 0500 hours. Mostly cloudy. 34 degrees. Good morning. 0600 hours. Cloudy. 34 degrees. Good morning. 0700 hours. Cloudy. 34 degrees.
Morning. Yepers. Good morning. Starting the grind. What's it? Wednesday? Hump day? So, there we go. Yep, seems like the week starts to go downhill from here, which I guess in theory, right, hump day. So, hopefully these next few days aren't as bad as the last two, and then it's the weekend. I guess mentally, let's see, so there's Friday, it's Friday. And then there's tomorrow's Friday. So those 2 days are, you know, they're smiles because it's Friday or tomorrow's Friday. So I guess Wednesday you could say, hey, tomorrow we're into the Friday or pre-Friday. You just need to stretch it. I like Wednesdays because that's when my check comes in. I'm not paid till Friday, but the check's always in on Wednesday. So it's kind of like payday for me, too. So a payday, the day before Friday, then Friday. So 3 days of the week and something, well, every other week for the payday. I don't know. The ways we try to convince ourselves. Whatever works. I'm trying to train myself to only hating Mondays because then Tuesday is looking forward to Wednesday. And then Wednesday, you're halfway through the week, and then you're looking forward to Thursday because tomorrow's Friday, and then it's Friday, like you said. So I think if I can get myself into that mindset, it'll be a lot easier. So K-A-R-U-H.
Good morning, Anthony. It's Wednesday.
That it is, and it's a short week for me. We are lucky enough to have Good Friday off, so I am more than halfway through my week.
Yep, that's right, and that means the office is going to be dead for me on Friday, so awesome. You know, that's always the thing about, and I think we've talked about this before, I used to always take off between Christmas and New Year's because the, you know, I had young kids, right? And so, you know, there was getting all ready for, you know, Christmas, and then Christmas Day, and then there is, you know, the day after putting things together and playing with the things they got and all that. So it was always a good time for a man with a young family to take the time off, but later in life, when I was younger, I'd let all the other guys take that off, and I'd work. And man, I'll tell you what, I was missing out. That's like the Maytag repairman between Christmas and New Year's, Anthony.
Yeah, man, there's not much going on. Some of those days are the perfect days to be in the office.
Seems like every year my family asks why I don't take time off around the holidays, and that's exactly why. It's in-house PTO. You're not doing anything, and I'm not burning any PTO. Yep, there you go. Well, Good Friday, we got a half day. We don't get the whole day. We get a half, but I've already got three of my guys have taken four. That's Bruce, George. Yeah, four of my guys took the other half off. Yeah, it's an easy day off. I was going to do it, but when they all did it. And then I got some contract vendors. I was supposed to be on a job site at 6 a.m. getting some electrical work done at one of my sites. And they called and they canceled and said they couldn't do it. Could we start Thursday? I said, well, keep in mind, I got a real short crew on Friday, and it's only a half day. So, because they got to be, you know, they got to be escorted the whole time they're in these sites. I thought I made the wrong turn here. No, I didn't. Took a little different route in the work today so I could get my coffee from a different Starbucks. So tomorrow morning I'm going to be on the road at like 5:30, quarter to 6, meeting some contractors out at one of my sites. Spend the whole day out there probably just working kind of remotely from the site. And I may have to go in on Friday now because of that. So that's okay. I'll just flex it, take it off somewhere else when the weather is better. Now that I'm back in the walking and running and all that good stuff, I can just blow off in the middle of a really nice day where it's 70 and go do something. That was a long babble. Anthony?
That is definitely a better use of your vacation time or holiday time, however you want to call it, to use it when it's nice and when you want to use it, because it's nice to have it off, but it's nice when it's at your discretion.
That is my preferred time to take time off, when it's sunny and nice outside and I can actually do something enjoyable and productive rather than rotting in my house like I have been all winter.
Yep. Well, you know, I mean, speaking of that, isn't that why, you know, there's a lot of great places to live in the country, you know, the weather and all that stuff. But when I look at all the things, you know, all the storms, you know, in Tornado Alley, hurricanes down in the southeast, drought, excessive heat in the summer and all that stuff, I'll take right here, man. And there's nothing, wouldn't that suck? You know, spring is so nice. You know, it's been dark, and it's been up to the northern latitudes. It's, you know, really, you know, dark and cold, and, you know, and then this just, you know, I get it. It's depressing, you know, winter. But, man, spring is just such a great thing. I'd hate to miss that. And then fall, yeah, give me the northern latitudes and
spring and fall and all that stuff any day of the week. You can keep the cockroaches the size of mice and deer the size of German shepherds, and you can keep all that.
I'm right there with you. There's a lot of things that are alluring to move to the coast. There's a lot of things that are alluring to move west, but you take into consideration the storms on the coast and the droughts in the west, and it's just, it's not something I want to worry about. We got it pretty good here. I'll vacation in those places.
I know, it's easy to complain about Michigan and the winters and the bipolar temperatures and the seasonal swings. I feel like the older I get, the longer the winters get. I don't know if there's any validity to that. The irony is everyone's worried about global warming, yet I feel like the winters get longer every year. But agreed, I'll take what I can get out of Michigan. At least it keeps me on my toes, and there's always something different. I love the spring. I'm learning to love the summer, and fall has always been my favorite time of year, so I guess I'll take that over cockroaches.
Oh, yeah, my kids were in Arkansas for a little bit, and then they were in Houston, and, you know, I like the lizards. The anoles are pretty cool, but you can keep the rest. You know, there's rattlesnake. I was running in the in the field back there in our house, watch out for rattlesnakes and all sorts of, bugs that, bite and can kill. And, they when they were in Arkansas, they had these beetles. I mean, they were ginormous and they were disgusting, and they were always just all over their pool and everything. No big deal. You just got to clean it up. But, I mean, we ain't got none of that stuff, What do we got? The worst thing, we got June bugs. They're a big deal, I don't know. And then the weather, and then enjoying the spring and the summer as a avid motorcyclist for years. I there was nothing like just waiting for the weather to break. It was almost like it was new every year. And, Anthony, you made a good point, and then how great is it if you live in Florida, if you live there, then where do you winter? Or I've got a summer in the north. Are you a snowbird? You snowbird, so I know. But the idea that we can go in the winter and vacation somewhere tropical, that's great.
Yeah, I don't know where you go. It's like when you live in northern Michigan, where do you go on vacation? You go into the UP? That's a great question. In Dakota, you got to get those kids a big pool in the backyard, and you'll love summer. Get right home from work, go in the pool. Sounds like a fun summer for all those kids.
NABDF. I grew up with one. My parents still have it, and I am pooled out. I don't want to take care of it. I don't want to pay for it. They are cool, but pools in Michigan are kind of like boats in Michigan or snowmobiles in Michigan. You don't really get to use them for that long, and they cost a whole bunch of money.
Oh, yeah, you hit that one on the head. Boats especially. Was it boat stands for bust out another 1,000? But that brings up another really nice thing about where we live. I mean, I think there's more registered boats here in Michigan than anywhere else in the country. So if you are a boater, that too, it's a great place to be a boater. I mean, I suppose there's other great places too, I'll take Southeast. No offense to our friends listening in that aren't in the Southeast, but you guys get hit with too much damn snow. Anthony?
Yeah, a boat is a great idea on paper until it's reality and you gotta pay for it to stay somewhere in the summer and in the winter, and then you gotta, those things aren't easy on gas. You got to put a bunch of gas in them all summer. You got to clean them, maintain them. It's just something that I have never been interested in. I have friends that have had boats over the years, and it's been great when they had them. But it's not for me, that's for sure.
I've got buddies with boats, and I hardly get to use them, so makes me happy that I don't have a boat. Pretty easy to talk myself out of it. I've looked at small fishing boats a couple times, and it's like, again, I'm going to use it a couple months a year, 2 or 3 months, and then I got to store it, and I got to maintain it. I was like, I'll go out with a buddy and get it out of my system, and then I'm good. And then I go out with a buddy, and then we don't catch any fish, and it's like, man, what a great way to save money is to just go out with someone else and not catch anything, and that really, really curbs your appetite for a boat.
Well, I'm not going to poo-poo it. I got my family's all, you know, heavily in the boats and all that, and I see the allure, but you're right, it's expensive. It's an expensive hobby, and, you know, you got to really dedicate a lot of time to it. If you're towing to a lake, you got to, you know, get home from work and have everything ready to go and then run out, launch the boat, you know, for a couple hours and get it in. You know, just do it on the weekends or something if the weather permits. And, you know, and then if you're keeping it on the water, you know, it's a little better, but you still got to, it's usually not near your house. If you live on the water and you got a boat, well, then of course you got to have a boat, right? If you live on a canal, but then you just come home, you jump in your boat anytime you want. There I can really, really, you know, then you got to have one. But, no, I never, I had one, and I had a bad experience with it. And I never got another. I enjoyed it. I really did. But I was more into bikes. You know, that was what I did on hot summer days. I was out biking. So, you know, I suppose how you spend your... Some people camp out. I'd probably lean more toward the camp people. Which I think that's going to be a common consensus among this crew anyhow.
Yep. But then there's the whole split in camping, right, is people that are trying to see things and maybe some people that are trying to rough it a little bit, and then there's people that are out there glamping and bringing more crap than they have at their house to a campsite and putting it up, and man, there's... People can spend a lot of money on camping if they are gluttonous, materialistic consumers, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. When we had our trailer, my wife and I would glamp like no end. I would eat better glamping than I would at home. I had a Blackstone. I had a charcoal grill. We had TV. I mean, it was a fireplace in it. It was awesome, but once we started having more than one kid, it got way too difficult, so we sold the trailer. But I definitely look forward. I'm with you, Sean. That's where I'm at. That's my kind of weekend. I feel like you can use it longer, right, especially if you get a four-season, but I don't know who wants to camp in the snow. But the nice thing with those is you can turn on the heater, you can turn on the air conditioning, so you probably get a good 6 months a year of use out of that thing. Our old house, it saved us more times than I can count because it was only a one bathroom. So when we were renovating the house or we lose power, we just hook up to that thing and go somewhere else. Yeah, I look forward to having another one of those. It was a good way to spend time with the family, but now that there's more of them, it's a little more difficult.
You know, I heard Anthony say glamping, and I'm going to say, did you say glamping? So you guys will have to, I'm guessing it's glamorous camping. I don't know. I've never heard that term. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, there's tent campers, you know, who just want to get out in the, you know, in the rustic woods, and, you know, and then there's, like you said, the house on wheels, you know. And everything in between. And there's different kinds of, you know, travel, you know, camping is people that, you know, the destination is the entire goal, that everything up to the destination is just a chore, almost. And, you know, and then they're usually running these, I'm going to use the term glamper, maybe not understanding it completely, but you'll explain. but the glampers, it seems like the destination is the entire goal. I'm more like the journey. You know, if I was, for me, the journey, you know, and having something nimble and quick to set up, quick to tear down, being able to, you know, drive, you know, and just go wherever and, you know, set up real quick, maybe spend a day or two, and then break down and move. You know, I that's the kind of camping that I like. You know, it's like it's where the journey is equal to or even more important than the actual destination. Anthony, explain glamping.
Sean, you are spot on. It is glamorous camping, taking all of the amenities of home, maybe even in some cases it's better than home, and having them at a campsite. But I'm with you. Quick, nimble, and I'm here for the journey. You know, I have, I feel that way about most things, even like when I go up north to go fishing, I wanna stop in the small town and get a coffee or stop in the local bar and have a burger and a beer. And like, I want the whole experience, not just like, hurry up and get there and then we're going to sit and do nothing or whatever it is that your plans are. But yeah, man, it's all about the journey, and that's where some of the best stories come from. And the best stories are told with the whole journey in mind, not just what you did while you were there, if you were fishing or riding your bike or skiing or whatever it may be. But it's what happened on the way there and what happened on the way home, too.
Yeah, I agree. I have more stories from the trip to the sites or home from the sites than what we did at the sites, because when we went, like you said, you kind of just post up and it's like your house on wheels. You hang out, you take the kids to the playground, walk around, whatever, drink. Hang out with friends that went with you or they've got trailers. You know, it's like another weekend just away from home versus when you're commuting there. There's all kinds of shenanigans that happen. I remember one time I took it up for my buddy's wedding up in Charlevoix, and he D&D'd this big house, and I had my trailer was 31-foot tongue to bumper, and it was down this, like, logging road, and I had to turn around. It was a mess, but, like, just funny stuff like that. I remember that way more than, you know, what we did with the camper that weekend.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's another thing, too, not so much what I was thinking, but yeah, that's another part of it, too. No, I was thinking just, like, if I, you know, I'll go see my kids in Houston, right, and they're not there anymore, but, you know, so I would plan the trip and say, well, I think, you know, I want to go this route because I've never been to the Wisconsin Dells, right, so I'm going to go over first, and I'm going to go a little north, and I'm going to catch the Dells. I'll stay maybe a day there, and, you know, then I'll come down, you know, and I'll go here and stop and see this, and, you know, for a day or so or something like that, and take the long trip in the Houston, and then when I'm coming home, I'll take the south route and maybe, you know, take in this, go to Shiloh or something like that. You know, I had an ancestor who was captured in Shiloh, spent some time in Andersonville, so I've not been. I got to get down there. I went by it a couple of times, just didn't have the time. But I like the kind of camping, like when I retire and I'll have more time, you know, I like the kind of traveling where, you know, I can spend a day here, 2 days there, stuff like that, take in all sorts of little things where it's not really worthy of a, like Shiloh, you know, the battleground at Shiloh is not really worthy of a, you know, of a destination, but it's a, you know, it's a great place to stop for the day, take it in or something like that. So that's what I mean by the destination, but yeah, I don't think I want to pop up. I've been looking at them lately. I'd like to get just a small, you know, hard camper. I got a question, though. Can you actually get, let's say you had a piece of property, you know, with just a pole barn on it. Could you get hookups, like water and sewer hookups, so that you could actually, you know, have the thing on your property, you know, all hooked up with the sewer and water? I don't know. Do they allow you to do that? Great.
Go ahead.
PA Golf India Oscar. Good morning, boys. Sorry, I haven't been catching you guys lately. Our clocks must be different, plus I've been out of town. But, yeah, this is Rochester Ben. So, yeah, Sean, real quick, so up at the farm, I've got a 50-amp and a sewer clean-out. So when we we've literally taken, I had a bumper pull for years and then a fifth wheel. We take the fifth wheel, and when I built the barn, I specifically built a little slide-in for it along with electric and water. And we actually lived in it when we were going up there building the rest of the property out. So, yeah, you can absolutely do that. Some places, you know, it's legaler than others, so to speak, but, yeah, you can absolutely do that.
Yeah, like Ben just said, I think it's a matter of the township that you're in. Some of them are a little bit more okay with it than others.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, like,
so
I
probably
wouldn't
get
away
with
it.
It was Brewster Armada to buy some property, but temporary shut out away for
either a year or two, but the guy
thought about that, too. I
talked
about
some
renovations
and
stuff
water.
I got to do right now in my place. I thought it would be nice to have that, you have something like that on the property.
They got
to think, I wonder if you could do that. I wonder if you could have, you know, hookups on your property.
Everyone's a little different,
and
but
I suppose it's all about,
too, where,
you know, where.
Another building on
but,
the property is kind of a...
Am I going out of turn here? Anyhow,
you know,
if I am, I'm sorry about
power,
that. I'll send it over to Dakota.
And,
I think I might be. Good morning, Ben. It's been a while. Go ahead, Dakota.
I doubled.
Hey, guys, you guys just doubled exact the amount of time as each other. You both started at the same time, ended at the same time. But, hey, I got a split. It was good talking to you guys this morning. K-E-A-R-U-H, and I'll be clear on your final.
All right, let me make sure I got it here. All right, I'm sorry about that, Dakota. It was your turn, and I realized that as I was talking. I said, oh, crap, I went out of turn. So that was all me. Go ahead.
All right, Anthony, I'll catch you later, man. And, Sean, no big deal. I was pretty much just saying, you know, don't ask, don't tell. I know that in Bruce and Armada, you can have a barn or a temporary structure for a period of time, but then they require you to build. I'm sure there's ways to circumvent that or however it's zoned. Or I'm sure it's different every township and city. I've thought about that, too. I've got buddies that have thought about it, buying a piece of property up north and sticking a trailer on it. I know that in Mount Pleasant, I got a buddy that does that. He's got a fifth wheel on it, just a piece of land. So, like I said, it's different everywhere. But I am also at work here, and then I wanted to throw it out to you before I jumped out. I don't know if you saw it on Telegram, but I'm going to dump this 500 for 300 bucks. So keep your feelers out for me. And then I'm going to try one of those new FTM 150 rafts and ride that out until the new Kenwood launches. So if you hear of anyone, let me know.
All right, well, that's a smoking hot deal on a 500. So, all right, we'll catch you later, Anthony. Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, sorry to jump in late. I've been actually traveling quite a bit. We were down in South Carolina. The youngest took the in-laws down. Nothing more fun than traveling with old people. I'm not quite sure if traveling with old people is more fun than traveling with toddlers. But I did hear you guys talking about we camped a ton. Like I said, we had a bumper pool and a fifth wheel. I would just recommend, and Sean, it sounded like what you're looking to do is precisely what we did, right? So it's all about the journey. And I got a million stories. We could seriously take hours going on. One of the funnest times was me and my son driving back. We took from Arizona back to Detroit. We drove the old Route 66 back pulling a 34-foot bumper pool. It was hilarious, but fun times. But I would suggest that you don't get a van camper, unless you're going to be staying someplace for a long time, because setting up a turn down is a pain in the butt. With a bumper pull or a fifth wheel, you go to the campsite, unhook, set everything up, and then you got your vehicle to go out and do your day journeys. So we did that with the kids forever, and now we've literally been, gosh, all over the country. And I bought on my second truck. It's got 180,000 miles on it, and it's literally been all over the country yanking that fifth wheel around.
Yeah, I thought about like a Class A or a Class B or something like that. But, you know, then you'd have to tow, what do they call it, a towed? You'd have to have a towed. But, I'll probably just pull something. And get something small. And most of the time it'll just be me going to a, you know, or me and, you know, a friend or me and my wife, you know, and she's not really big on it. So it'll probably be me, myself, or myself and a friend. So I'm just going to get something small, you know. he's never been the camper, so there's that. Anyhow, I am at work as well, so good hearing you. And I think everybody else, we all pretty much start at the same time and destiny at the same time.
Yeah, my wife's the same. In fact, I'll never forget real quick, one time, the trip when I was just talking about the thing back in Route 66, she is not a road tripper, so she actually flew to Denver. I drove the trailer by myself and picked them up at the airport. It was pretty hilarious, but anyway, whatever. Have a great day. Good catching up with you guys again. Sorry I've been tardy, but 50 pounds of dirt and a 5-pound bag for the CPA this time of the year, so we'll catch you guys later at WHGIO on your final.
All right, Ben, we'll catch you later. WNFE.
Good morning, 0800 hours. Mostly cloudy. 34 degrees. Good morning, 0900 hours, cloudy, 34 degrees.
W-A-T-A-T.
You know, Eric, I admit that you're not crazy. I heard a lot of connection disconnections today for the KC8UMP server, AD8OD.
I think that was me.
Well, like I was saying before, I log in or connect to, I believe it's the 1990. And whenever anyone logged on to the Who Cares Lurker or the FBI, it would announce who was connecting and who was disconnecting. But there were periods when it would just loop. It would just loop, especially Dave's. It would say connecting, disconnecting, connecting, disconnecting. And I just thought that was just normal. I think nothing of it. But, yeah, you can't hear it when you're on All-Star. You can only hear it if you're on HOIP.
Yeah, I heard TOTDIS620722 and, like, following that. So it would be TOTDIS, and then it would be shortly after 622 connected, and that was at, like, 916, and I think like maybe about 5 minutes before that. The second one I got a timestamp. The first one I didn't, but... It seems like, I don't know, if that was you trying to run, if it was about that time, 9:10, 9:15, something.
Yeah, I was reprogramming some stuff in the hub, and every time you heard that, I was restarting Asterisk, so that was me. And I can turn, that's on a per node basis, you know, whether you want the telemetry to be announced. But I always thought, you know, it's nice to have a place where you can go hear that if you want, but I don't know. I may shut that off on that particular node. You know, it's just as being a nuisance.
Right. Well, but the good thing is, though, it announces if you're disconnecting and reconnecting. So my question is, was I really, in fact, connecting and disconnecting? Because in the background, while people were talking, I heard, I'm pretty sure I heard it announce me connecting and disconnecting while it was connected. You know, I was listening to a conversation. It's kind of in the background. It's doesn't cover up the current conversation, but it's just a little bit less than half the volume of the actual conversation. And, I mean, obviously I wasn't disconnecting, I don't think, because it was just, you know, I was listening to full conversations without my end, you know, disconnecting. So I don't know what that really meant.
Is it possible that you're, like, switching mobile towers and you lose data long enough that it's, like, losing your stream to All-Star?
No, because that's the thing. I was plugged into our LAN at work, and I was coming in through the HOIP bridge. I don't know, Sean, I don't know how Sean has that hooked up, but it appears that I was hooked up. HOIP is connected to the 1990 hub, and I was plugged into my LAN at work, which is like a gigabyte LAN, so I wasn't in the car or I wasn't on Wi-Fi or anything.
Weird. Yeah. Let's see. I know he has the site somewhere. The, what do you call it, like serve beer or something or whatever it is to where the monitor is hidden. But I don't know off the top of my head what that is.
I could monitor that. I could try it one more time, but if it continues, I just won't use that because I'm close enough at work. I can just listen on my radio. I don't really need to be connected other than the fact that the speaker in my phone sounds a lot better than the speaker in my radio. So that's why I use the phone, only because it sounds better. But I could try it one more time. If it does that, I could monitor the hub or whatever and see if it shows me going in and out. But try that one more time when I get to work.
It hasn't today. That's why I've been monitoring. Normally when I'm working from home, normally I work from home on Wednesdays, but I usually have something else on the VoIP connections, either connected like ECR or like Who Cares Hub or something. I don't normally monitor this on my VoIP phone, but today I am because I wanted to see what you're talking about in person.
Well, if people are connecting to Dave's Hub, it'll announce that too, but during the day no one keys up on Dave's Hub, so you won't hear it that much, but you'll hear people. I mean, I can show you, if you monitor that hub, I can connect to Dave's hub and disconnect, and it'll announce it. It announces all connections going in and out of Dave's Hub and the FBI. Unless there's another way to get into the FBI with HOIP, I thought it was just 1990.
I don't use 1990. I don't know what that is. I use 15070 or whatever for the HOIP line. Like 1990 would be like an internal All-Star link, right, if it's under 2000?
Yeah, I think that's what I connect to. That is the ham over IP connection. But in reality, if you go to the dashboard, you'll see that everything falls under the 1990 when you're on the 15070, I believe.
Yeah, it's just the internal node or whatever, because you have to have like DB switch or whatever else to be like an internal node that you then like connect to your external facing like All-Star node or whatever, which is your, you know, 6,000 number or whatever, 60,000, depending on if you have extra nodes or whatever.
Real quick, you want to shoot, I guess you don't have to leave, but I'm going to shoot over to the Richmond, see if I can make it in from Warren. I'll be right back. Okay, try Romeo.
I can hear you on Romeo. You're scratchy. On Richmond, there was a couple, like, bursts of static. So you like were enough to break the squelch or whatever to on the tone, but nothing was audible.
Okay, yeah, it comes in way better when I'm north of Utica, or north of 59. I'm down here by 12 Mile right now.
Yeah, it's rough. There's a lot of crackling, frying on it, but, yeah, it is.
I'm going to shoot into work here, so I will be back later. This is WADAP.
Yep, see you around. 8800D.
NHJPP.
Good morning, 1000 hours. Cloudy. 35 degrees. Good morning, 1100 hours. Mostly cloudy. 37 degrees. Good afternoon, 1200 hours, partly sunny, 42 degrees.
W2PUT, ABATR.
Hey there, Bill, NAKPP.
Oh, hello, Ollie. What's happening?
I'm in Southfield hitting up Telegraph. For instance, 696 is no longer 696. And looks like a lot of other people had the same idea. So I figured I'd try out your repeater and heard your call, and I'd say hi.
Okay, actually, I'm heading over to the east side, so I'm on the Warren right now. So it sounded good.
Very good. So what brings you to our side of the tracks? Work or fun?
Today it's fun. Meeting for a group of people for lunch. Yeah, well, it's standard Wednesday lunch somewhere on the east side. So that's the plan.
Yeah, I know Telegraph got, you probably, I'm not telling you anything you probably don't know, but Telegraph has gotten pretty loaded up since 696, so I could either went down Lodge or 10 or whatever it was called to Detroit and then head back north, or I could come up Telegraph and cut across an M59, so might come up across M59 and stop and say hi to Sean.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, I live up there, and as soon as they closed 696, I saw a huge increase in traffic on, like, Square Lake Road between Telegraph and I-75. You know, people have been using that to get around. So, yeah, in effect, it's amazing how big of an area something like that affects.
Yeah, well, they have a lot of people working on it. I was surprised because, you know, heading west, I had to go to a customer in Farmington Hills. Heading west, I could not believe how many crews they had working on it. So there is, you know, there's a lot of people working on it. But somebody was talking yesterday or the day before about, you know, how long it's going to take. And I'm sure it's going to take a long time. So That's quite a stretch of road, but as long as I've been around here, it seems like they're always working on 696. There's always something.
Yeah, well, it's needed. It's in pretty bad shape. Yeah, this is going to be, I think it's a two-year project. The big part is going to be replacing those, or redoing those bridges, those big parkways across. They have some serious leakage issues, and I know it creates icicles hanging down in the wintertime from there that can fall on vehicles and other things, so I think they're going to rip it all the way down to the base and redo it. That's a huge project.
Oh, you mean those bridges that are parks, those things?
Yeah, they were designed for the Orthodox community because they would be cut off, and so they built like three big bridges that are actually parks, like I said, whatever. So it's in need of repair, and I guess they got it. A big question everybody has is why are they doing all these projects all once? Because basically, follow the money. You know, it's, the money's available, so they got to spend it, or they lose it.
Yeah, well, you know how that goes. And that's I play around a little bit but on a volunteer, paid on call, whatever, fire department on the west side of the state, and it's the same thing. You know, it's like you can't roll it over, so you have to use it. I mean, they always use it for things that they need, so there's nothing wrong there, but that's just the way the world works. You know, you're budgeted X, you know, you got to do X. And so, and they try to most part they try to be responsible, you know, like, but it just, you know, some of the things are accelerated, you know, like you might be able to get two or three more years life out of this nozzle or this hose or what have you, but it gets accelerated a little bit quicker just because of that. And I think that's just across the board. I think that's everywhere. I just don't think that's a Michigan thing. I just don't think I think that's kind of just the way it is thing.
Yeah, just so we went through such a drought of any repairs for so long. Now they're all catching up. But, you know, fortunately I don't have to deal with 696. Project. I hardly ever use it in that section. But I had to deal with the I-75 project, which was over a two-year project, and I'm on it right now. And then they put in that stupid HOV lane, which nobody obeys, and they don't enforce it, so I don't understand the point of it.
Yeah, and I think it's Georgia. There's some southern state down there that by a vowel. I mean, they charge it as a toll lane. So it's, you know, they have the license plate reader, blah, 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 and then you get the thing. So if you're in there, is that HOV lane is treated as a tollway, you know. And I think that's a pretty good idea. So, you know, if you have the means to spend whatever it is, you know, you get, you know, your plate flashed or the little iPass, whatever they call it, and then you get charged for the amount of time you use it.
Yeah, I have seen that in other states and stuff, and that's probably a good idea. But here it's like, you know, okay, they put this lane up between 6 and 9 a.m. and 3 and 6 p.m. Night, and like I said, I'd say 99% of the cars that are using it, it's one person in it. And I've never seen a cop out here doing anything about it. So I said once they do it, I figure I'd give them 2-3 years and they take that out.
NAKPP. Yeah, you know, and sometimes, you know, you said earlier, follow the money, you know, and, it also depends if there's money in it for them, too. Like, who gets the money? So if you issue the ticket, okay, and let's say you're whatever, Royal Oak Police or what have you, or Oakland County Sheriff's Department. Okay, so if they issue the ticket for that, and then let me call you right back in, AKPP.
Okay,
AKPP. Back. Man, do I get a lot of spam calls in AKPP. But yeah, where I was going with that is, you know, it depends who gets the revenue. So, you know, if, let's say Oakland County patrols it and the revenue goes to the state, there's no incentive to patrol it. You know, so where does the revenue go if you do enforce it? That has a lot to do with it. That's why a lot of these municipalities now have their own intoxicated driving rules and things of that nature because of, you know, where does the money go?
Yeah, that's a soapbox I get on sometimes. You know, it's so blatant about the fines they pull you over for speeding. Then they say, well, we'll write it for a non-moving violation. They do it right in the car. You used to have to go to court and actually could negotiate it. But now they do it right in the car. They just say, hey, I wrote it for this. And the reason they do that is because if it's a moving violation, 50% of it goes to the state. If it's a non-moving violation, the local community gets to keep it all.
Yeah, but also, too, on the flip side of it, you know, and I have mixed feelings on that, you know, soapbox. Also, too, it, you know, it saves, it's kind of like a money warning. You know, because it also saves you license points, too. You know, I mean, I was on the news the other night. They were talking about just recently, within the last couple, 3 days, about some young man down in Melvindale or something like that. I mean, he has like 5 or 6 speeding tickets because Melvindale is now enforcing one of the roads that is like 40 miles an hour and it's become a 55-mile-an-hour road. So actually, it was a news coverage story. You know, and I'm fine with, you know, the occasional, you know, like my record's really clean. I'm sure yours probably is too. But let's say if all of a sudden you get caught, you were passing a car, what have you, I'm fine with that. But, you know, the thing is let's say you have an habitual speeder or something like that. That's where, you know, I think, okay, it needs to be addressed, you know, as far as get written up. You know, I think in that case, it's all discretionary. But, no, there is a point where you have to slow people down, you know, and sometimes the only way to do it is not necessarily with money but with points, you know, like, okay, you get 5 more points, you're going to lose your license.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. And a lot of times, you know, and it's always interesting that when they write you for the non-moving violation over the moving violation, it costs more. So you're paying you're up front one way or the other. But there are some areas where it's just, you know, it's so obvious it's just about the money. I mean, like, for instance, if you get on M59 from Utica and it turns into, like, expressway, after the first entrance ramp or whatever, I think, which is Mound, there's a speed limit sign there that says 55. And then you can see in the distance the speed limit sign for 70. So there's like a half-mile stretch of where it's 55, and there's no ramps going on or off of there. It's the exact same road. And so, you know, a lot of people, you know, jump up to 70 before you actually get to the 70 sign. And if there's a cop there, you're busted. I mean, that shouldn't be. I don't know. There's no reason for that. It should be 70 right at that, right after that entrance ramp from Mound. But it's not. So, but there is, you know, there is a law in the books that you can fight. People actually fight this. If they think a speed limit is misset, there's supposed to be, when they set speed limits for new roads, they're supposed to watch what 85% of the people do, and that's where it's supposed to be set. Because if your majority of people are interested in driving safely and properly, so I've heard people actually challenge that and win.
Yeah, and AKPP. Yeah, one of the towns I grew up in, you know, I used to have to drive through it all the time to get home, and it was like 3 miles of 25 mile an hour, And it was a small town police department, you know, one or two cars, what have you, and the cop, you know, a couple, three times has gotten in trouble. Let's say physical trouble. They basically, you know, had a lot of hostile customers that, you know, didn't like getting pulled over in this ridiculously slow speed crap. And that's what it was. And eventually, this is an old story, probably 10, 15 years old, but eventually the state stepped in and the state made them change the speed limit to what it should be. I think it went from 25 to like 40 or something like that. And that was pretty much the end of the that police department, too. They ended up contracting with the county. So, but yeah, that was the survival of that real small community. And I mean, this was a small community, but they were living off of that 25 mile an hour stretch thing. And then when the state stepped in, they didn't last but a year or two, and they ended up contracting with the county.
Yeah, there was a case like that in Ohio. There was a stretch of a town that annexed this one-mile stretch of where freeway went through, and they had no entrance or exit ramps on it, and they were pulling people over right and left, and some state senator or representative got pulled over, and he went back to this center and somehow did something which basically took the land back and punished the town. Just greed. All right, I got to, almost where we're going, and I'm supposed to meet Dan, P.U.T., here shortly, and I want to see if he's on the air there. Yep. So I make sure I connect up with him. So I'll catch you later, and we'll probably see you at breakfast Saturday, if you're going to be there. 7-3 Wally, ABAPR.
Take care, sir. You be good. Give you an update Saturday when I see you. Just visited the urologist. So, things are good. So, I'll give you the update if you compare notes. N-H-A-K-P-P. W-A-M-Q-N-H-A-P-P.
AJ portable monitoring.
W2PUT ABAPR.
Good afternoon, 1300 hours, sunny, 44 degrees. Good afternoon, 1400 hours, sunny, 47 degrees. Good afternoon, 1500 hours, sunny, 49 degrees.
I'm going to change my call sign, WHCOM. Does that mean I have to change it on the spreadsheet too? W8RCY. Well, hold that thought. I have to change it first, but Yeah, I'm changing it to WA Cranky Old Man. Well, I will admit, when I heard the COM, I was either COM for your work that you do, or it's something old man, and you came up with the C part, so I was on the right track. All right, well, enjoy the afternoon. We'll be listening, and if it makes it official, I will change the spreadsheet, no problem. And I will most likely be at breakfast on Saturday, because I got to talk to Wally about getting my stuff done. So that's where I stand. Well, it could be Cranky Old Man, Crossy Old Man.
But, yeah, I'll tell you what, I just don't work well when things that should be easy are not. I get most frustrated when things that should be no problem go sideways. I'm like, why am I wasting my time on this? But give me the real problem and cool as a cucumber. Give me a stupid problem and cranky as hell.
What's your standard call sign? Already implies what you're looking for.
Yeah, I guess that's the ultimate cranky old man, right? Ah, geez. Anyhow, Wally, you listening? I guess not. I figured you should probably try to connect with them, Donald, beforehand, give them a heads up, because, you know, there might be some stuff that we could do heads up or whatever, so. But, anyhow, that you, Tim? How you doing?
Yes, I don't know if my antenna is working any better than it has been, so probably not enough for a conversation. But I took a chance on a quick joke, ADHL.
Tim sounds a little hot to me on my end.
And I hadn't been sitting in well at all, and the weather hasn't been warm.
Some more.
On a mobile antenna. But it was a warmer day. Hopefully I'll get out there and figure out what's going on.
CAG, who else is up that way? Eric is not really kind of up that way, but I mean, he's getting towards that direction. But you get out there where those guys are, and it's just a funky spot.
You guys doubled there, but I caught the gist of it from both of you. But, yeah, I'm on the booth wing today, and it's not the most high-quality audio-sounding, four-channel Bose subwoofer system. So, you know, maybe it's just my radio because I'm running $60 POC today. So anyway, yeah, I'll double check with Eric, but I mean with Wally, I mean, he mentioned it yesterday, and I will check up with him on Friday just to make sure wherever he's copacetic. Okay, well, I'll let you enjoy the ride home, and other people will probably want to jump in and talk to the crotchety old man, so. And then again, I'm older than you, so I'm really crotchety for being an old man. WARCY, enjoy the rest of your day.
Now let's make sure I got it. Well, old is mandatory. Crotchety is optional, so. But I then. Oh, well, what you going to do? Tim, we doubled, so I missed whatever you might have added last go-round. Over to you.
Big deal. Like I said, my antenna still needs work. It's immobile and it's been cold and I haven't found time on a warm day to get out there. Hopefully as it warms up, I'll be able to fix whatever's going on. But I'll go out on a high note if you're able to hear me. I'll talk to you later. Thanks for popping in. Hope you have a good afternoon. ADHL.
Yepers, you've got some popcorn picket fencing, but you're sounding fine. Catch you later. Donald out. Just checking out on a high note. I'm in trip home. This is W8FG.
I thought I heard my name, N-8-K-P-P.
Well, we said crotchety old man a couple of times, so is that what you're talking about?
I'm trying not to be like that, but some days it just gets to you, you know? What do they say at our office? You can't fib it.
Roger. Well, I apologize because you've now seen me twice in a week, crotchety. So I just I was explaining to her. He says, you know, give me a real problem and I'm cool as a cucumber. Give me something that I shouldn't have to deal with or something that should be easy that's not going right. And I get real crotchety.
Well, if you want to throw the towel in on just that little part of the puzzle, I will be your guy because I will figure it out. So if before you guys toss that thing out of a moving pickup truck going down the road, let me know because I will figure it out. I love puzzles. I mean, and it might take me longer than most, but once I get it, I won't forget it. So, I mean, if I can upgrade all of these XTLs, I can sure in the heck figure this thing out.
Probably won't be necessary. I appreciate it. But the biggest problem is we don't have all the tools for this. It's out of our wheelhouse. And so, like, for instance, I didn't have a PC that could run the appropriate software to get in. That's just just yet another hassle. And then the couple other odds and ends and stuff like that. So it's frustrating because these are not problems. These are simply solved. Just pick your computer that you can get on the network, install PuTTY, and Telnet in. It's like these are not problems. That's why I get crotchety. Like, this is easy stuff. Why do I have to deal with all this? It's like, because none of it's set up. Well, of course, none of it's set up. So that's why. I don't know. This whole thing is, I had a vision of how it would work, and it's just not working that way. So it's got me just being miserable. I'm pretty confident when Paul gets the computer with the software specifically for the GPS devices, we can tell a lot there. That'll confirm the operation of the GPS unit and the wiring and all that stuff. And then we'll know, we can rule that out. So instead of having six variables, we'll have, four, and then we can process of elimination, get it down from there. So I just got to realize that's the thing. I just don't want to go through all this because, it's just been done 100 times. Why do I got to reinvent the wheel?
Yeah, I got it. If we get it amongst us or whatever and plan, like Paul suggested, like a master plan, of whatever, then when it comes time to implement this same technology or a version of it on, let's say, the 2.6 or the possibly future other digital FBI repeater or something of that nature, I think that would probably be, a good thing for us. So, if we get it, we could just have, Tom make us up a bunch of cables. You know what I'm saying? Okay, here, we need like 3 of these and 5 of these and what have you. And that way we know they're right and we have a pinout configuration and, he could home test them all before they got to us. You know what I'm saying? So if we can set up a system like that where, everybody had their own little piece part to it, and then somebody else would just assemble it, and you could go ahead and talk to it and make it all work. And, I think we could get a goal like that. I think that'll make it a lot easier.
That's the goal, just, like I said, having all the right tools in the one spot so that you can effectively work on it. But That's 90% of it right now. The frustration is just not having all the tools in the right spot, to just systematically knock it out. It's why it frustrates me, because this is just not hard stuff. This is not hard stuff at all. So it'll get knocked out. We get the computer where that software is, or load it onto another one or something like that so I can get in these things, take a look at them under the hood, and it'll all be clear.
Yeah, I'm going to get a link to that 44-net, too, by the way. My router at home will do that so I can steer it. I got a Ubiquiti router, and I saw that there was a thing for it, so if you ever get to the point where you need me to start talking to any of this stuff, let me know. I got a really good router at home, and it'll do multiple channels. So I was reading up on that. It's not that hard. You just gotta have get permission to get on it. But once I get that, I'll be okay.
Well, that's where the that's a whole other project we're working on. So there's a there's ways and other ways and stuff like that. So that's all stuff as well. A whole different. That was a big deal of last year's project.
Yeah, I understand. So, all right, I have to let you go. I'm at the office. I got to address some of those phone calls that piled up while we were staring at our teeth, whatever they were called. So, be drunk careful. I'll chat later. NAKPP, go home and have a drink.
Yeah, I stopped that a little while anyhow, so I get some weight off. So, that's probably the other reason I'm crotchety. All right, catch you later. Have fun. I'll be right up to you.
Good afternoon. 1700 hours. Sunny. 50 degrees.
NADBF.
KSH. DRC.
What's up, Jack? You cut out on that last one. What'd you say?
I said, I'm on that rubber duck outside.
Which radio is that?
UV-26.
Yeah, you're making it in. Are you going to Warren? Or are you going to Mount Clemens?
I really don't know which one. I only know is that UMP. What does UMP stand for?
UMP is the Mount Clemens one. It's downtown. Try switching to the Warren one. I want to do an A-B comparison here. I think he'll probably be better going into Warren.
KE8VSI.
Afternoon, Greg. How are you?
I'm good. Oh, you must be on your way home.
Trying to.
Cool. Anything else new and exciting?
Not much, man. Just put that new mount in my truck yesterday, and then it made me dislike my radio even more because I now have a proper mounting setup for it. So I think I have it sold, and I think I'm going to order a new... I can't believe I'm doing this, but they're the only ones that are doing it. I'm going to order one of those FPM150 rasps. They're on sale right now for, I think, like $379. I don't need digital. I don't care for digital. I don't ever do APRS or anything, so I'm like, just get a plain Jane. I seem to have the best luck with the plain Jane radios, so I'm going to try one of those out until this Kenwood comes out and see what happens.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I've seen those mounts before. Those are incredibly nice. They're definitely the way to go. I don't understand why it would make you hate your radio even more, though.
Before, it was a combination of the mount moving around and flopping all the time and then the radio not sounding good. And now that I took care of the mount thing, it's like, all right, I need to do something with this radio.
Okay, wow. You've been through enough with it. I guess it just wasn't meant to be.
Unfortunately not, and I don't think I've got it in me to stomach a 510, but who knows. I think, I don't know. It's unfortunate because it's a sweet radio, and it's when it's warm out, it's fine. But I'm ready to be done with it. I even told I'm selling it so cheap. He was like, "Why are you selling it so cheap?" And I told him the whole story and how it's been back twice, and they replaced the board, and this, that, and the other thing, he schooled it, so I feel better disclosing why I'm getting rid of it instead of like, oh, no, it's totally fine, which for most people, it probably will be totally fine.
Right. No, I agree. It's a quirky thing, and you're right for most people, but definitely disclose the issues you had and what's been done about it, and, you know, it's been proclaimed operational 100% by Yaesu twice. So I don't know, and then you throw a decent price on it like that, I think it should all work out just fine. I was thinking about you going with a plain Jane when you were saying radio. I'm talking on this MD-9600 in my office because it does so many things that I like. You know, seriously, all I would need in the car as well. The only thing is not a removable faceplate. But functionally, you know, the way it scans and you can do the zones and all that, and you're right. It doesn't need a lot of bells and whistles, that's for sure.
I like playing with the bells and whistles, but from a day-to-day, you know, I'm going to put, like, 5 repeaters in this radio. So very straightforward, very simple. I talk on repeaters. I want it to sound good. Transmitting and receiving, it's basically the same exact radio as this, but, like, dumbed down and monochrome, which, whatever, it doesn't bother me at all. And I saw some videos on that new RASP or ASP technology. It looks pretty cool. Again, I don't really have a use case for it, but we'll see how that goes. And, I just really just want a plain analog radio, dual band, true dual receive, and that's about it. Banks would be nice, but that's for some reason Yaesu is poo-poo on banks.
Yeah, that kills me on that for sure. I don't care for that. That's definitely a down step. But if you're only going to put 5 repeaters in there, you can scan them, you know, and then you'll be fine. So you don't need that PGM or banks. You just scan and you'll be fine. So that's what I like about this 9600 in the house. Yeah, you can put as many things as I want in there and then group them into zones and scan whatever zone I feel like at the time. So that works out really well. I wish I could do that in the car. I do have that program memory group thing on the Yaesu in the car, which is really all I use. It's 5 repeaters, one of them being my node, which I can actually get rid of that because I don't drive around with my node much anymore. So that's generally all I need for day-to-day.
Yeah, I think once you get the T-shirt, you're kind of like, all right, that's a cool feature, but not really necessary, and I'm not going to use it every day. Funny enough, though, I posted, just out of curiosity, before I made my decision on getting rid of this radio, I posted in the FTM 200, 300, 400, 500 Facebook group, and I just outlined my issues and my experience, you know, very, very diplomatically, and wasn't bashing Yaesu, and I was just saying, you know, does anyone else have these issues? These are the circumstances. This is what I'm seeing. And people that have 200s, 400s, 500s, they all chimed in saying they have similar issues, you know, different climates, different setups. So I'm kind of just coming to the conclusion that Yaesu's quality control isn't all that. And I was shocked to hear people with 200s and 400s having this issue. I don't think anyone with a 300 chimed in, but they were all stating that they had very similar audio issues or they had different types of issues, like one guy's 500's GPS didn't work and his buddies did in the exact same install and just stupid quirky stuff. So I'm rolling dice again getting another Yaesu. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I actually, I'm part of that group. I read your post. It was very good. And, yeah, lots of people, lots of troubles. And, you know, you weren't fishing for it and just kind of spelled it out. And then everybody came back with a lot of issues. So, fortunately, on mine, I haven't had any, and I'm happy. and I'm sure there's lots of happy people out there just like me. But there shouldn't be, you know, as quickly as all those came in and those issues, just shouldn't be like that, I don't think. You're right, the quality, the control or whatever is not there.
Yeah, Yeah, my 200, man. That was such a good little radio. I wish I still had it. Honestly, I'm half tempted. It's the same amount of money to buy another 2730B and an Icon speaker. Well, my hesitation with that is I don't like having the external speaker because it's my body is under my passenger seat, and to get that to where I can hear it well isn't easy, so I don't know how I would do that. I'm going to ponder that over tonight. But that's why I'm drawn to that 150 RAS, because Yaesu is innovative, I'll give them that, but they really got to button up this quality control crap and stop, you know, they're charging too much for these kinds of issues. I'm fine with paying for something, but it better work. And the front-firing speaker ahead, that's like the best thing that's happened to any of these radios, and I hope everyone else starts to jump on board. But that's what keeps drawing me back.
Yeah, I agree that speaker in the remote head is a game changer. Everybody's got to start doing that, because you're right. If you stash the radio somewhere, then you got to mount a speaker. And in my case, I'm able to do that on my cup holder mount. I like it. It works fine. I would rather it be nicer like yours is, but I can make do. But I tell you what, if that 200, or, well, even if I were to get a 500, it'd be nice to get rid of that speaker that I got. You know, and you do have to mount it in front of you, facing you. Otherwise, it's, you know, it's not going to do much good. So, yeah, definitely a game changer.
Yeah, I mean, the trade-off to that, though, is as loud as this speaker is in this remote head, it still sounds way better coming out of an external speaker. So it's a little bit of give and take, but I'm all about just the most low-profile install I can get, just with kids and stuff, you know, throwing bags in the car and kids jumping around. So for them to hit, bump, snag on, the better. So I've been trying to figure out how I could pipe this in. That's the worst part, too, is I don't even have a 3.5 millimeter in this truck, so I can't just, you know, plug that into the truck speakers, which would be ideal, because then it would be a short run to the center console. Everything's USB now, so I don't know how I would do it. Maybe Bluetooth, but then phone calls would get all screwy. But, yeah, anyway, I'm babbling. But, yeah, I hope everyone else starts to get on board, but I think I'm either going to do one of those 150 RAS, or do another 2730 and a speaker, but we'll see. Fortunately, this guy's local. He's part of Lapeer Ares and Search and Rescue, so I think he's purchasing it for that specific reason. So, where audio probably isn't the most important thing.
Right. Okay. Well, that's cool. it'll be going to a good home, and the guy knows what he's getting and has the use case already, so that's very good. Yeah, an aux in on your car stuff would be nice, but then you're kind of dedicated to that. You can't have the radio on and that at the same time. And I'm sure there's a way you could do it with USB, some sort of adapter, but that the same thing. And the Bluetooth, like you said, messes with phone calls. So, yeah, dedicated speaker on a radio to me. If you could get it to combine with your current, you know, system, that would be great. But if you'd break it out separate, I don't think I would like that.
NADBF. Those are my thoughts exactly. And then I like the ability that I can turn, like, the way I have this radio powered is I don't have to have the truck on or the ignition on. I can just turn on the radio, go straight to the battery. So I've got APO on 30 minutes. If I don't touch it, it turns itself off. In case I forget, like Dave did, and kill a battery. But, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. But I'll roll the dice. And here's my other thing, too, right? I'm never on GMRS, so I'm not going to open up that radio. So if it has the same issues as this radio, it's just going to go straight back.
Right, yeah, that would be something that you would do well after the fact, if at all. Because now you know how much you're actually using it, which at this point is probably none, like you just said. So nice to have, even just to listen to. But, yeah, don't do it right away, if at all, because then you'd have the option to just go, oh, yep, this isn't right, and then send it back. You don't got to worry about it. Good idea on that.
Yep, I learned my lesson on this one, actually, unfortunately. I modded it and then realized it had an issue, and DFT is like, oh, yeah, sorry, you got to send it back. And then I screwed up again after they put in a new board from Yaesu, I modded it again, and it was still in the return window, so I'm just a moron, but no need anymore. I don't hang out over there. I don't remember the last time. I think the last time I jumped over there was to congratulate Jack on getting his tech. Speaking of, where did you go? And, yeah, I haven't done it. The 2730B, that's on my desk, and I don't plan on doing it to my next radio either.
Okay, I bought it for Jack, so... Yeah, I can't believe you did that a second time. Oopsie. And then I also cracked up when you said, when you're talking about the kids bumping and scratching and I don't know what other words you used, you said the less that's available for them to do that on, the better. And I'm like, yeah, probably yourself, too.
Yeah, I mean, as close to factory interior as I can get is what I'm after, because they just managed to get their hands on everything and, you know, throw the diaper back in the truck and snags on the microphone or the head unit and the speaker, and it's like, I've learned enough lessons to know that I gotta tuck stuff away as much as possible to keep it safe.
Yepper-depper. All right, I got dinner coming shortly. Good chatting with you. Hopefully you're well on your way home, and I gotta scoot and get my dinner going. KEVSI, I'll listen up.
All right, Greg, pleasure as always. Enjoy dinner, and yeah, I'm at 26 so far, so we're moving all right. I'll catch up with you later. N8CBF, standing by.
Dakota, I'm on the base station. I'm Lauren.
Yeah, you sound way better now. Is that your 9600 that you got?
Oh, that's not it. DB20.
The damn DB20G always sounds so good. I thought you got a 9600, though. Did you put that in the mobile?
Oh, I have it here, but it's not programmed. Eric didn't program it the right way because it didn't have my license, so he kept it off. He got everything there, but it has to be on, so I'm waiting for him to come out and get it. But I love that 9600.
Yeah, I know the guys are a big fan of that radio. I haven't paid too much attention to it, but I think Greg just mentioned that it didn't have a removable faceplate. So for me, that's a non-starter, unfortunately. I can't put that in the truck, but for a base station, it'll be totally fine.
Yeah, on that TMRS, I was talking to Ohio on it, Cleveland, Ohio.
I don't know if you heard, but I was just saying I haven't been over there since I talked to you last, and I don't ever have to go over there now that you're over here.
I know what you're saying, but there's a couple of people, you know, good people I know, you know, I just talk to them like, how are you doing and all that, and that's about it. One of them, I don't know if you know that, Bob out there in Sheboygan.
I remember Bob from Sheboygan.
There's another one by the Willow Run Airport. He's a very nice guy, too. Me and him and Don, he started it with a Yagi, and he was facing the Yagi left and right. And Don, you know, Don told him, that's not the way and all that stuff. And he did it a different way. I don't know how. He was hitting the Mount Clemens, the Detroit repeater. And Don said, yeah, you got it now. Roger.
Well, that's the ticket with the Yagi. You got to point him at the right thing.
But if we got a Yagi, you know, I don't know if you know that or not. You get the motor. You know, remember those TV motors? You can put them outside on the TV, go back and forth. You can operate on them. But you got to find out where they are, where these repeaters are. And really, they do a good job out there.
NADBF. I remember growing up, my grandparents had a cabin up in Harrison, Michigan. Not Harrison Township, Harrison, Michigan. And that was how we had TV. We had an old rotor on the top and a dial in the house that I had to turn. I'm assuming that's what you're talking about. But, yeah, you got to point them in the right spot or else it's not going to do you any good because they're so directional.
All right, can I have directional? Also, you know, if you got a compass, tell you what that direction or that repeater is. And this is KFA-DRC.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm being honest, I don't know where some of these repeaters are. I kind of have this general idea, and you could probably mess with it enough until it sounded good and you knew you were hitting it. But I know where Romeo's at. I don't know where Richmond's physically at. I know general area of where Warren is at, and I know where UMP is at. That's about it.
I do. And there is the gentleman by name Phil. He's got one in Commerce Township, and he's connected to the FBI. But I was out at my sister's house. You know, I used to go there to West Bloomfield. And every time I want to talk on that, I didn't know what the number, and I couldn't reach none of them. Not Romeo, not the Warren one. Not even the MP one. I couldn't reach none of them from there. And it still is. I don't have no idea why.
Well, Phil just fixed his machine. I think it's 442-500. I don't know what the TL is off the top of my head, but he was testing it like last week, I think, and that's linked in. So heading that way, you should have plenty of coverage now, because back when I was driving a Wixom, I would use that repeater. I could pretty much carry a conversation with Sean all the way from my house in Armada to my office in Wixom.
I tried the 500. It didn't work at all. So I really don't know. Maybe because I was on 10Y radio. I'm not sure, maybe, because the DV was not with me at that time.
I think that was K-E-A-W-O-K. Go ahead.
Jack, that West Bloomfield repeater, it's on Orchard Lake and Lone Pine, and the PL is 107.2.
Thank you. Now I know, and I can do it then, because I didn't have that. I had the 5000, but it didn't work at all, so I didn't know which one was it. I figured out, you know, when I talked to John, he knows all about it anyhow. And thank you anyhow. KF8DRC.
Hey, Jack, my pleasure. I'm coming back to you on that repeater now. Have a good day. I don't want to interrupt you. I just wanted to jump in there and let you know it's a 107. Have a good one. We'll catch you later. KE8WOJ.
K-E-A-W-O-J. I apologize. I thought it was W-O-K. This is N-A-B-B-F. So there you go, Jack. Yeah, that one should be totally fine now. They were testing it the other day, and it was doing pretty damn good. So try that next time you head out there.
I will do that. 100% I will do that, because I didn't mind doing that, because I just want to see these radios, they're getting out or not.
Do you have an antenna on your car, or do you just use a HT when you're mobile?
You know what? I have the Comet 2x4.
Oh, you're golden then. That's what I got on my truck right now. And I mean, within reason, I can work every repeater I want to.
I see. With that DV, it does a good job out there.
Do you run the DB20G at high power, or do you keep it on medium?
Oh, I always run on medium. Never got it on high at all.
Perfect. Yeah, I remember when I had one of those. If I ran it on high, it would get real hot real fast because there's no fan.
Well, good talking to you, Dakota. I'm going to let you go because you're driving. I know you're driving. You know what I mean? You need to get home, so I will talk a little bit later with you, KF8DRC.
KF8DRC from N8DBF. Pleasure as always, Jack, at talking to you, and we'll talk soon. N8DBF, I'll be standing by for the next bit here.
WDAT.
I was just talking to Jack about how you haven't fixed his radio.
I'm not the only guy that can fix radios. There's a lot of apt-bodied people out there, but
I don't know. I think it's user error.
Did you only have a program for GMRS or what?
No, I'm not sure. I program like 15 radios. I'm not sure if one he's talking about.
He was talking about the 9600.
9600 has everything in it. Everything.
So is that the official Who Cares mobile radio?
Not really. You know what my official radio is. It works if it's 100 degrees out or if it's 10 below zero. You know what radio I use. But, yeah, I think that would be the second Who Cares radio.
How much are those? Maybe I'll buy one of those and put it on my desk and then put my 2730 in the truck.
Well, it's kind of weird. It's like 259 or 269, but if you buy it with like a 30-amp power supply, which is worth like $100, it's like $10 more. It's a weird deal, so I don't know. So, yeah, it's like 269 or 259, and then with the power supply, it's $10 more, 30-amp power supply, so... Like 179, I guess, if you subtract 100.
Yeah, that's not a bad deal at all, then. It is weird, though, that they just, hey, spend $10 more and we'll give you, it makes you wonder, what are they making these things for? I can't remember. I just bought one, a power supply, because it has the Anderson power poles on it, on the front, and I could adjust the output and all that. I don't remember what brand it was. I don't think it's an Astron, but, yeah, I think I got my 500 sold, so I'm in the market.
Well, it's kind of ugly to look at, the display at least, but it does do the ISS tracking, which is really cool, OpenGD77, and if you have a Renovus RT3S or a Bofang 7100 or any other, like, OpenGD77 radio, you can just drop the code plug right into that TYT. No problemo. Uniplug.
That's how I got suckered into the, what's that stuff called? It's the RTS systems or RT systems, whatever the programming software. Because I can copy any radio code plug and paste it into any radio code plug. And then I'm good. Hold on, I gotta take this call. It's Cole again. I'll be right back. NADDF.
Roger. Hey, Jack. What's going on? You out there still?
Yeah, go ahead. KM8DRC.
Well, that was a bad imitation.
All right, I'm back.
No problem there, Eric. You take care.
I was just saying, Dakota, that was a bad imitation. Dave can do a pretty good one. He's fooled me like twice. I talked to him for like 5 minutes. Remember that, Dave? He fooled me like twice for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, you kept asking questions, and it finally stumped me.
I had to turn it down because I had a phone call, so I missed the imitation.
What was the volume, Dave? Jack's usually pretty loud. You could say, you know, he's loud. So if you're a little light on the audio, Jack would be half asleep if it sounded that quiet.
Right.
That was Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of listening to the conversation. You're coming in kind of weak on the Mount Clemens, and then you never did go to the Warren. But that UB26 is a powerhouse. I think puts out like 10 watts on UHF and like 12 plus on VHF. Things crazy. So it's the most powerful walkie-talkie I own. So yeah, I don't know why, Jack, you were.
You never came back.
Because I was on a rubber duck.
Yeah, I know, but Dakota said to switch over to the FBI warrant. You never did. You just disappeared.
This radio, the 26, is not getting out on that Romeo. And the warrant.
It's not supposed to get out on the Romeo. But the warrant you should be. I mean, I don't know, unless you have the power turned way down or something. Don't know. That's your strongest rate. If it's about double the power of anything you got.
It's on high.
But I don't know. Is it on power? Did you mess around with it? It should be on high power. Or any medium. Medium is still like 7 watts.
You believe now I'm on Warren with it, and on high and a plus. And there's no signal on it at all.
Well, I don't know, you're getting in really strong. What do you mean there's no signal? Should be pegging the meter.
Oh, I don't know why that 26 is like that. You know, it's getting a little bit on the Romeo, and it's getting on that MP, but not on Warren. Don't have no idea why. I'm just checking and see if that... PL on it.
Sounds like Eric put the wrong PL in 88 TFM.
Someone slipped me a couple bucks to do that. Yeah, I might have fat fingered it, but usually for Jack's, I just take mine. I mean, it's cheap, but I just pretty much dump my file directly in. So I should try to see if mine works, but it's the same code plug as mine.
Go ahead, you got it finished. KFA-DRC.
Well, when I get home, Jack, I'll look at your code plug to see if maybe I didn't do something. It's possible. I usually work on those at 2 o'clock in the morning. Or midnight, between midnight and 2.
Is it windy out there? Because I'm watching the UMP signal go up and down, up and down.
You got to try to hold your radio up straight, dude, straight up and down. No, a little bit windy out, not too bad.
10 mph out of the northwest.
There, I moved the antenna. Maybe it won't do it anymore.
Dave, the 500 is officially sold and the 150 is officially ordered.
Just keep all the packaging because, you know, the 150 is going to be sold in about a month.
I always save the packaging for that reason, but I told Greg earlier, if this one has any sort of the tendencies that this one does, I'm just going to return it, buy another ICOM, and that's the end of this. I love the 500. What's wrong with it now? Or what happened? KEA-TFM. Same thing that I sent back to you, AC4 twice. Of course, I might like this radio because now that it's in the truck, it's not coming out. It was too much effort. It stays. I messaged you this morning. Telegram, I gave you first dibs, but I don't think you saw it. No, I didn't see it this morning. In fact, I didn't even look at Telegram yet today. I was up till 3 working on stuff, and then up at 7 across town, and yeah, I didn't even have a chance. But I need another radio, like the hole in the head. I got too many as it is. I think I'm gonna take and use my 710 for all my VHF and UHF, or 705 for UHF and VHF at the house, and then my 9600, I'm moving that into the boat. That's where that one will find a home. Well, I look forward to working your Maritime Mobile. I am pulling in the driveway, though, guys, so I'm going to jump out here and maybe sit outside and drink a beer. I don't know. I'll catch up with everyone later. NATDF, I'm clear.
KS8S. Yeah, I really like the 9600.
Yeah, there's a lot I like about it. I wish it had a dual
CD on it. Wasn't that one
kind of dual watch?
Dual,
but
I don't know if it was a Redis or something
like about
that had
it
a really
scan.
Cool.
I mean,
LED
scan
display
really,
on it.
Really fast
mobile.
Compared to the much what faster than any of my other radios. So yeah, I'll use that one in the boat. Have a little bit more juice, and I'm out there enough. I'll get more use out of it. I don't really use it at the house anyway. I don't talk on DMR, so. So yeah, that one will go in the boat, and yeah, that's why I like it. I can scan a lot of channels out there, and you don't miss anything.
You missed
that new
Redis. Go ahead, Eric. You heard
Dave.
Go ahead, Eric.
People were looking at.
Try again, Eric.
A couple of weeks ago, I think Aaron was looking at a 50-watt dual-band mobile. It's like a Redivis or Radiodity or something. It had really cool-looking display on it.
Yeah, I remember that one. It's like for the price, though, you might as well get a Yaesu or an Icom because they were pricing it that way.
Like the MA-1 or something? MA-1. That's it.
I don't think there was anything special about that one other than the display, though.
Yeah, there's
that
someone that was
for
like
price was
$289,
but goes on sale.
And I don't think it's worth it. I think it should. That radio looks like it should be like.
Yep.
Like,
maybe
$250. I don't know.
Anyway, I'm talking on it.
I mean, it's not priced
like 2x4,
like
a 2x4, but
the Icon
level. MRS on it.
And the Chinese radios need to be cheaper.
Another double, but yeah, I agree. If it was in the $200 range, yeah.
That with or without tariffs?
I haven't seen any tariffs. So, don't know.
There's no tariffs on electronics.
What about Apple phones?
No tariffs on Apple phones either.
I hear there's tariffs on Motorola's because they're made in China.
China.
W8RCY for identification. All my Motorola's have Malaysian stickers in them. Maybe they're from Malaysia via China, but no, mine are all made in Malaysia.
I don't know, I just read somewhere that they're bought out by another company. I could be wrong, that some of the new ones are made in China. I could be wrong.
Well, I get their emails and newsletters and things like that, and I haven't read anything about it. Like I said, well, my radios are, I've had my radios since 2019, and they're all Malaysian stamped, so, two mobile, three HGs.
Yeah, like I was saying, I think my walkie-talkie counts up to like 32, so I got plenty of radios. Matter of fact, you know, if the bull thing goes from $20 to $40 and you can't stomach that, I got plenty of radios if anybody wants one. But yeah, that mobile is like 300, I think that mobile is like $349, and I thought, geez, you can get a Yaesu or Icom for that. But yeah, if it's like 200, I would go for it.
Well, if I were to make a serious investment in amateur radios outside of my Motorola's, I'd probably go with Icom. I've never, in the 50 years that I've been a non-ham but followed the equipment, I would probably go Icom, then Kenwood, and then something crazy. But I remember 50 years ago, Yaesu's had issues, and you still hear Dakota talk about his, and no, we'd never invest in it. And I don't know of anybody right now that have been ham operators have Yaesu's as their home shack, so either Icom's or Kenwood.
WATAP.
I'm pretty sure everybody has a YAESU 710. That's a great radio. I haven't heard any bad news about those.
I heard a breaking station in there. Go ahead.
I have an Alinco, and it's from Japanese. Hey, KJ, what's going on, fellas?
Did you bring my Frankenmuth chicken order back with you?
I didn't get a chance to stop by. I was lucky I got to stop by the cheese factory.
No soup for you, W8RCY. Guys, continue on. I'm eating dinner. Catch up with you later. We'll be sandbagging like I usually do.
Yeah, I just got in the fleet.
This is WAZZ. I'm at home, and I'm going to run a house and check out a few things. It's something to do. Yeah, I remember that. All right, catch everybody in a few.
I'm in train to both of you, and I'll be around for a while. KCQ2.
Good evening, 1800 hours, sunny, 50 degrees.
W-E-A-P.
Now where are you going, KF8S?
I'm not going anywhere, I just got home.
It sounded like you were in your car for some reason. I don't know. Maybe it's just the repeater.
I might have keyed up on the Romeo or something. My signal shouldn't be weak.
Nope, sounds good here.
Good evening, 1900 hours, sunny, 50 degrees. Good evening, 2000 hours, sunny, 48 degrees. Good evening, 21 hours, clear, 46 degrees. Good evening. 22 hours. Clear. 41 degrees.
JF8DPZ standing by.
This is KE8WUO monitoring.
Good evening. 23 hours. Clear. 37 degrees.
NATO view.